end of their abdomen where their stinger would be. They can vary depending on what their genetics are.
Queen bee can sting too?
Yeah, but they don't sting humans. Their only main purpose with their stinger is if they... if they're raising more than one queen, if there's a bunch of what they call queen cells, let's say a beekeeper goes through the hive and accidentally crushes or kills the queen, then what happens is the bees have to rush and make a new queen. And how they do that is they pick an egg that's under 3 days old, and they go through and they know which one's most viable. And they don't just make one, because what if they just make one and that gets crushed again? So they make a whole bunch of them. Oh. And then whoever hatches first then goes around, and she goes and hunts the other ones. And they literally have a boxing match where they get, when they hatch, they kind of get other attendants, the other workers that kind of side with the queen that hatched around them. And then it's literally like a boxing match where they fight, and one gets injured, and they'll stop and pull them apart, and they'll try to, you know, fix them, just like you see in the movies where they're watering and taking care of them, and then they throw them back in there.
You could be calling the matches for the queen bees.
Yeah, and so whoever stings and kills off and ultimately wins the battle, and sometimes they fight with 18, up to 18, 20, 30 different.
So the stingers are just used in the queen battle.
Yeah, and she's not there. It's not barbed in the same way as the workers. Huh, but amazing. I could handle a queen, and she wouldn't sting me. It's
really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, amazing.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to take a quick break, close out the 10 o'clock hour, start the 11 o'clock hour. This is just going to take a couple of minutes, folks, so stay with us. Animal World continues. More Bees and Wasps straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World has been brought to you by Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
Listening to Martha Norwalk's Animal World right here on your alternative talk station, 1150 AM KKNW Seattle.
Do you find your life has more choices and less meaning? Has bigger, better, more left you feeling less connected and more stressed? And tune into Conscious Talk, a radio that makes a difference. Conscious Talk will soothe your soul and brighten your day and take you out of the spin and hype and bring you back to center. That's Conscious Talk, a radio that makes a difference, right here on Seattle's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk with Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animal companions. We've moved from Tuesdays at 5 to our new time, Wednesdays at noon to 1 p.m. We talk about animal communication, how to communicate with and understand your animal kids better, life from the animal's point of view, and alternative ways of relating to those wonderful animal companions. I take your calls and talk directly with your animals about anything you'd like. Health, behavior, emotions, upcoming events in your lives, or just have fun conversations. I even talk with deceased animals and humans. This show is dedicated to taking your calls and talking with your animals. Twice a month, we feature guests who talk about their specialties and answer your questions. Animals have amazing and wonderful things to say. Be sure to join us for an informative, fun, interesting, educational, and definitely unique hour of radio listening at our new time every Wednesday at 12 noon for Joy Turner's Talk with Your Animals, the show both you and your pets are going to love.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
can welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And by the way, if you can't listen to the entire show today, or you only pick up parts of it, or you want to hear more again and some of the details we've talked about, you can go to the Animal World website and listen to the archived shows. And today's show will be up by later in the day, certainly by this evening. All 3 hours of this show will be up on the Animal World website, so you can share it with your family and friends. Now, if you need to get a hold of us here on Animal World during the show, there's a couple ways to do that. We always can take email, and our live email address is animalworldlive@hotmail.com, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Please use that address only while we're on the air, because we don't check out that email box during the week. If you need to ask a question of you, we are not covering whatever it is that you want to know about bees, wasps, hornets, yellow jackets, whatever, we will be delighted to take your call this hour. However, Sandy is not here today, so Gary is doing all of the jobs today. So if you do call, he may not be able to answer the phone. He will simply put the line on hold, and you'll know that your call has been answered because you'll hear the radio show playing in your ear, and then just hold on. We'll pick you up live on the air, or Gary will trot into the other room and talk to you before we put you on the air. And so if you like, you can send an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or you can give us a call. The local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Long distance within Western Washington is 888-298-5569. Now, you can be in touch with Animal World when we're off the air by going through the website, marthanorwalk.com. There's great information for you there. Click on current events for the current events stuff. Click on shelters for all our shelters and rescues. And we will be getting some bee information and wasp information up there for you at some point. It's not up there yet. And let's see. If you are submitting current events items, please do so via email. There is a contact Martha link on the website. That's the easiest way for me to get the information onto my webmaster so it can get posted. And if you need me as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, if you need help with your dog and cat friends to solve problems, I'd be delighted to help you. But the best way to get a hold of me is to call me. It's always worth having anybody you know that's got problems with their animals calling me, because I always do a free telephone evaluation, and if I'm not the best one to help them, I'll refer them on to who is. Or we'll chat about what's going on and work something out to solve problems. And the best way to get me is Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. That's 206-525-2016. 206-525-2016. All right, and all contact information is on the homepage of the website. If you need to mail something, you can pick up the address off the website. And let's see, Doug Cheney is available if you have wasps, hornets, yellow jacket stuff, and you need some help with that. Once again, Doug, you will come, and when you have access to the nests, you collect them, and then they are used to, the venom is extracted and used to make...
For medical immunology.
For medical immunology. And so they die, but at least they serve a purpose. And so rather than just killing them, if you can, have Doug take care of them for you. And his phone number, it's Doug Cheney. His phone number is 425-485-0103. 425-485-0103. You can email him at venomcollect, the number 4, free, at Comcast.net. Venom collect for free at Comcast.net. Now, Kelly, for people that have problems with bees, that would be honeybees and such.
Yeah.
What should they do?
I have a couple of recommendations. One, I've mentioned it a couple of times, that the Puget Sound beekeepers in this area, not just for problems with bees, but also if you're interested in wanting to keep bees, learn about honeybees. They have monthly meetings. Their website is www.pugetsoundbees.org. And when you type that in and go to the home page on the left-hand side, there is a column and there's a listing that says Swarm List 2008, and there is a list of us that work together. Our numbers are on there that you can call, and they will route you, you know, to look at the number system and call depending on what you have. Also, the Washington State Extension Service, you can call them and they'll link you to us if you don't have the internet. And that's probably the best way to go if you're having issues with honeybees.
All right. And speaking of, just an email here from Lynn. Hi, Martha. As you know, Kelly has a very unique relationship with the honeybee. I have seen this bee girl in action and can honestly say she walks her talk. I had the pleasure of seeing Kelly open a beehive. She never smokes the bees to work with them. She is very energetically in tune and listens to them. If they don't sound happy with her there, she will come back another time. I watched several agitated honeybees flying around Kelly's head, and she was amazingly grounded and together. I was not, Lynn says. Kelly truly loves and honors these bees, and it is so good at explaining why bees do what they do. I am so grateful that you have her on to enlighten us about the miracle of the honeybee. All right, Lynn, thanks for your email. That's great.
Thanks, Lynn.
So that I'm surprised now. Every show, TV show I've seen on bees and honeybee keepers, they use smoke before. And you,
I generally don't. I have at times when if there's been an emergency or if they're very aggressive and I need to move them or something like that, I will in a dire situation. But I try to go on the energy of the bees and work in tune with them. And I feel like if I'm going to go in their home and they're going to allow me in there, that if I can take the time to center myself and listen to them, if their buzzing increases, they're telling me that they don't want me to go any further. And as a human, if we ignore those things, that's why the animals have so many problems right now. All these news stories, all these painful stories you talk about, they break my heart because we're not listening to them and we're not honoring their behavior and their instincts. And I feel like if I can listen to them, then I have a better chance. The smoke, because so many people want to know about that, works because the bees are such communicative animals. They're able to explain and communicate on a level that we don't even understand. And so when they smell that smoke, they think that there's a possible forest fire. So what happens is they race into the hive, they all go inside, and they start communicating with one another, and they ignore the keeper or the person with the smoke. And they start communicating, and it spreads, and the smell spreads. And what they do is they think, is this smoke getting stronger? And if you keep puffing that smoker, it is. And they say, oh no, you know what? We might have to abandon this nest. So what they do is they're going to have to leave their honey, all their stores, everything, and be completely on their own without their safety. And so they gorge themselves on honey and they fill up their abdomen so much with that honey that they literally cannot bend their abdomen down to sting you. And that's what's working. So if I do use smoke, which is very, very rare,
I
put the smoker way off into the field, and then that way they get the smoke but on a very minor level. So
I had no idea
that's what's going on.
I thought I guess that the smoke hypnotize it or made them slow down.
Probably makes them a little sick sometimes if you're using a lot of it.
I don't know.
But you know,
every
beekeeper is different, and some people use smoke and swear by it. And I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't, but that's the way that I do it. So,
wow, that's amazing. So, I had no idea that. So they start gorging.
Yeah,
I'm thinking there's a fire.
Well, they fill up, and the purpose of them filling up is they're going to have to go and hang on a limb sometimes for 5 days. If they have to leave and it's raining out, they will get rained on, everything, and they have to sustain on that and feed the queen. And if the weather is awful, then they will perish if they don't find a home.
All right. Well, we've got to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Let's see. We've got a caller, Gary. Are we going to pick that up? We've got a question for you guys.
Okay.
We've got a caller. We'll do that. I want to know about what this swarm business is all about.
Okay.
I'd like to know a little bit if you know anything about the killer bees, the Africanized honeybees, and what that's all about. And then yesterday, you and I were communicating back and forth because you were out saving bees from blueberries and moving them, and I want to how do you move bees? And we know what Doug vacuums. His bees, or the wasps. He vacuums the wasps. Yeah, I'm getting it, Doug. You're getting to me.
I'm listening here.
He vacuums the wasps. We'll find out how Kelly moves bees, because
okay.
She was out doing that yesterday. And Carol, we'll find out what's on your mind straight ahead. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, they've got some great sales going on up at Jones & Company. Carefresh pet bedding in their 60-liter size is on sale for $14.99. Avo Natural Lamb and Rice, 35 pounds, on sale for $34.99. And Nature's Miracle Stain and Odor Remover in gallons is on sale for $19.99. So worth a trip to Jones & Company in Marysville. You'll find them on State Street. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Join Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 a.m. Brian Abker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit sportstangle.com for more information. That's Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
1150kknw.com. Your connection to Alternative Talk. 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling here in the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, it is our bee and wasp special here. Kelly Livier is here, our beekeeper. Doug Cheney's here, our venom collection guy and wasp expert. We've got phone lines open. Sandy is not here, so Gary's doing his best, and he's either just putting you on hold, and you'll hear the radio show playing in your ear, then you know he's put you on hold. He'll sneak in the other room and talk to you if he can. But we're going to try to get all the phone calls in if you've got specific questions and so forth. I still have tons of questions. We've already decided that, boy, we're going to have to do just more programming on bees and wasps because they're so important and there's so much to learn. But let's see what's on Carol's mind. First caller, Carol, you're live on the air with Kelly and Doug.
Hello, what a wonderful topic. Thank you so much for bringing so much brand new information to my life. I'm so impressed.
All right, you got a question?
With both of your guests.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I wanted to know, Kelly, since you sell your honey and soaps and other products from the beeswax. Do you have a website or a way to contact you?
I don't have a website. I'm out doing the bees all the time. I'm the least computer person of all my friends, but I have a telephone number you can call to get honey, and the number is 425-891-8080. Again, the number is 425-891-8080. And I also sell all of my wares on Thursdays at the Duval Farmers Market.
Ooh,
it's
okay.
First and Stella. And if you go to the DuvalFarmersMarket.com, there's directions on how to get there. It's 3 to 7. It's a fun little market, and I usually bring my observation hive. Unless it's really hot, I will bring it, and you can see the bees up close.
All right, so Duval's DuvalFarmersMarket.com, and the Duval Farmers Market's on Thursday, and
yeah.
You're there with your stuff.
Yes.
Or you don't mind if people call you if they want to get
yeah.
honey.
Leave a message, and I'll call you back. It's a busy time of the year, so if you don't hear back from me right away, it's not me being rude. I'm moving bees. I'm collecting honey. I'm spinning honey. I'm selling things. I'm educating. I'm doing lots of different things.
Okay. Anything else, Carol?
Yes. Martha, both of your guests seem to have such a deep and abiding respect for this interspecies communication and relationship that they have with their friends in the herpetological kingdom, I guess you could say. But Kelly, I especially wanted to ask you, since you have a really special sense of the spirit of the bees, what is your take on? I've seen a number of programs on like Discovery Channel and PBS about the crisis in beekeeping.
Yes.
Collapse disorder.
You haven't spoken about that today very much, and I would really like you to enlarge upon what you think, because what I understand is there's like a half a dozen different issues.
Right.
There really is. It's not just one thing. You know, again, as humans, we always want to have some quick, easy fix or one answer as to a why question. And with the bees, there's multiple things going on. And obviously, I cannot be the expert and say I know exactly. But from what I feel, working with the bees and communicating with the bees, the biggest thing that the bees are struggling with is the chemicals and the pesticides. This even includes Miracle-Gro that we use in our yards, because these are chemicals. Read those labels, people. It doesn't say dirt. There are strange chemical names in these products. Roundup, all of those things that we spray on the dandelions. Dandelions are the very first bloom that the bees can actually come out of their hives and work. And as humans, we hate those beautiful yellow dandelions, and we spray them with this chemical, and what happens is the flower absorbs this, and then it secretes it in its nectar, and the bee gathers this, and it either wills itself to die away from the hive so that it doesn't take it back and poison the rest of its friends, or it takes it back and it stores it, and it then slowly kills the bees in the hive because beeswax is so absorptive. And we have been using chemicals and sprays in our agriculture since the 1950s, and people want to say that that has nothing to do with it. And it absolutely does. We've just finally hit a level where their immune systems can no longer handle it. And the bees are an extension of us, and they're also telling us that we can no longer handle these.
So it's kind of like the canary in the coal mine.
It is. Why do you, it's why everyone wants to go green now. It's because this solution of these chemicals are not working, and that hits the bees. And also, there are beekeepers. Again, I'm not going to say that I am the way to keep bees, but I don't use chemicals in my hives, and a lot of beekeepers use chemicals, miticides, and the directions on these products are wear masks and gloves, and that this doesn't get into the honey. I don't believe it. I think it does, and I think it stores up in the wax, and then in the winter when they can't get out, they're breathing these fumes, and it's slowly killing them.
And I know Doug's nodding that you agree with this as well.
Well, there's a lot of things about bees that I don't know, but unfortunately, I have met a few beekeepers in my travels, and one of them was a lady used to live in Snohomish that had been in beekeeping for a lot longer than Kelly, like 20, 30 years, and she it was her theory that it was the chemical buildup in the wax. I mean, there's just a level above which they can't tolerate it, and it starts bothering them, you know?
Yeah, and they don't, like, well, now, this brings up a question. Are the wasps, the hornets, the yellow jackets, are they in any danger?
Well,
because they're important.
Well,
they're getting the insects and stuff. We need them, too, right? But are they in any danger?
Well, you know, one of the theories was that it was a cell towers with all the, you know, all the stuff going through the air. And, you know, of course, bees are yellow jackets are social like bees, you know. They're out there in the field and they have to get home too, you know. Mm-hmm. And the jury's still out on that, although I think I've seen some curious, not all the time, things happening with the hives that, you know, can't necessarily be explained by previous experience,
and they, of course, like the wasps, they don't have wax and honey in their nests. Like
true.
You said, the chemicals are building up in the wax, and they also don't go back to this. They don't stay in the same hive for years.
This is true.
Maybe that makes them a little safer.
And they're not out there necessarily collecting pollen or nectar, although the reproductives do that after they first come out of hibernation, supposedly, but
and they're kind of recycling the hive. Whoever's active this year dies off, and then the new queens hibernate, and then they start new the next
all
year.
Again, but
so there's
not,
more of a recycling.
Yeah, they're not getting the chemicals, but again, I still think that there might be something to the, you know, being the you know, all the stuff going in the air from the cell towers, cell phones.
I know a lot of people ask me about that, and I've done a lot of research because that started because a researcher was seeing what happened if he would put his phone on the landing board and see what happened. They have technically ruled that out. I do agree with you that I think that our technology and the things like that, it affects us. It's going through our body, all these different signals. Mm-hmm. But it's affecting every animal. The reason why the bees have been such a hot item lately about all of this, it comes down to money, and it comes down to the fact that our crops and our huge crops and monocrops that we're able to do in this country and in Chile and elsewhere, you know, greatly depend on the bees. And so when they start dying off, that means that farmers and corporations are making less money. And that's why there's such a buzz around them. And there's a lot of research with honeybees because they're easily studied. And our bumblebees and other things, butterflies, they're absolutely affected by this as well. But they're just not studied as much. There's not funding there because people don't make incredible amounts of money.
Because I was bugging, you know, you to pieces about my, you know, red bottom bumblebees.
Yeah.
And I searched all over the web. I read everything I could find on bumblebees, and there isn't that much.
Martha, there is actually an excellent volume out there. It's called The Humble Bee Bumblebee.
Yeah, The Humble Bumblebee.
The Humble Bumblebee, written by Brian Griffith.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a key in there, and it, you know, the biology and everything. And it's a thin volume of $7-$8, and you can usually find it at your local apiary store, if you could find a local apiary store. There is one in Snohomish, but Humble Bee Bumblebee by Brian Griffith is the bumblebee,
the
book.
The
for bumblebees.
Book.
Yeah.
There are two local apiary stores that I like to tell everyone.
Yeah.
The one in Snohomish is called the Bee's Knees Apiary, and you can find their information online. And also,
the Bee's Knees Apiary. A-P-I-A-R-Y?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey.
Bee's Knees. And also, there is Trees and Bees, and they're closer to kind of the Kent Arlington area. And they're a lovely
trees
couple
and bees. Okay.
That have a tree farm, and then they have bees. And how they started was they had a tree farm, and then they kept getting these swarms. And they said, well, let's do the bees. And they're really wonderful people, both of these places.
Okay, well, since you mentioned swarms,
yes.
What's the deal with swarms?
Okay.
What do we need to know?
Swarms, first of all, most importantly, they aren't something to be afraid of. The most wonderful experience to see a swarm and experience it, they are completely docile. They are not
swarms are docile?
Yes, because it's the same thing as the smoke. Before they get ready to leave that hive, they gorge themselves on honey to have provisions.
They're full. Okay.
Now, they're doing
their
this.
Their suitcases are full, so
yeah.
to speak.
They're
right?
packed.
They're packed.
So they're doing this because this is the way that bees spread. See, bees were brought here by the colonists. And the why they were brought here from Europe, and they're not native to this area, is because the colonists came over and brought all these lovely apple trees and peach trees and all these things that we enjoy here in America that are also not native. There are some native things here. But we had native bees, and the Indians, you know, were the benefits of these native bees. And then, of course, the colonists come over, and none of their stuff would grow, and they couldn't figure it out. So somebody came up with this great idea. Let's try bringing bees over. Well, how they've even reached us here in Washington is just because of swarming. And that's the same as the Africanized bees, which we can go into, is that they swarm to proliferate. They split off, and that's how they basically spread their species. And so naturally they're in hives out of the way, not in anyone's harm. And when they get to a place where they're, because their numbers keep growing and keep growing and keep growing as the weather gets warmer, because they don't have to work so hard with their resources to keep warm. They're actually mostly air conditioning at the point when we get these hot days. So what happens is the queen keeps laying these 2,000 eggs. Well, when they approach about 100,000 bees, that is a lot of bees. They're hanging around. There's so many bees, there's nothing to get done. And like I said before, bees love work. So they start communicating with each other, and they say, well, we need to find space. So we're going to leave half of you behind with the old queen, or excuse me, with a new queen, and we're going to take half and leave with the old queen. And this all
so it's
is
the old queen that goes. She makes
yes.
a new queen.
So she lays eggs, and they raise new queens. And they do this by feeding royal jelly. And some people have heard of this. It's a nutritional supplement. Mm-hmm. But what the difference is bees are fed this only for about 3 days. And then after that, it ceases. Well, and they excrete this royal jelly out of their mandibles and their jaw. And it's a gland secretion. And they continue to feed this egg after 3 days, this royal jelly, and for the queen for her whole life. Oh. And that makes her her reproductive organs develop. And that makes her abdomen longer, and that makes her the special queen that she is. And so these cells develop, and they, like I said again, usually they don't just make one, they make more, because nature has to, you know, account for birds, you know, beekeepers squashing them, whatever else.
Wasps.
Yeah, exactly. So it's true. And so then when these hatch, that whole thing happens where they fight it out and one wins. Now, that's sometimes there's an exception, because if there's so many bees, the hive will swarm itself, like it swarms its guts out, like they say. They'll let these multiple queens keep taking off with smaller batches of swarms. And what they're doing is they're taking a percentage of the hive to alleviate the pressure and all of the buildup of this huge colony. And it's a positive sign. It's a healthy sign.
So if you see a bunch of bees, they're looking for a new home.
They're looking for a new home.
But they're also loaded with honey, so
yeah,
they're not
going to sting. Okay. I mean, when you talked earlier about putting a queen bee in your mouth and having a beard or something
Yeah.
I mean, I would be perfectly comfortable to stick my hand. Now, I don't recommend it. Don't anyone do this. But I would totally stick my hand in a swarm. You can pick them up and move them, and they won't sting you. Now, there are exceptions to this. Let's say they're in a place where a dog or, you know, the great human that we have around here that bothers them, throws rocks at them, you know, tries to cut the limb down, and then they get upset. And then one of us show up, and they're flaming mad, and then they get this bad rap. And so they're very docile, and that's why it's important to call the experts that come out. We'll climb trees, we put up ladders, we do this for free. With the gas prices now, we eat the cost of the gas, and we drive around all over the Puget Sound, just like Doug does, and we do this because we love these
insects. So tell us, what were you doing yesterday?
Yesterday I was moving hives out of blueberry fields and into a different place, a different farm in Carnation. And so how that works is you do it early in the morning or late in the evening when the bees are inside, and you close up the hive, you put screening so they can still breathe, and then I ratchet the hives together. And I have
You said there was the hive, they were in the blueberry, so like a blueberry bush, or
no,
where do they be?
No,
where do honeybees?
They were over lake blueberries off of Bellevue Way. There's a blueberry farm there, and it's owned by the city of the Bellevue. And also there's one Blueberry Lake or Larson Lake off 148th. And they hire me and a group of other beekeepers, and we bring our bees in to pollinate those blueberries. If we weren't in there, their yield would be so low. They would make, again, it comes down to money. They wouldn't make money. So they bring us in and they hire us per hive. They pay us to bring in our bees. And then when the time is ready, they tell us to move out after the blooms have set and they have fruit. And so yesterday, with my mom, who is usually the one that helps me the most of anybody, we went and did this together, and I have...
Oh, so you were moving your own hives?
Yes.
Okay. And but the timing is critical because you want to move them when they're
late enough in the day. Yeah.
And oh, I see.
Because if I take them and move them and there's still bees out, those bees actually die because they don't have the queen and they just will themselves to die because they're without their colony. The colony, that city, that's everything to the bees. And if they're by themselves, they cannot make it.
There's one other thing too, Martha, that I'm sure Kelly knows is that, you know, once a bee colony is swarmed and it's settled down someplace and it's in the large ball, people ought to really try and get to a beekeeper, you know, let the beekeeper know about it as soon as possible, because there's actually scouts that are out looking for a new home for this swarm. And
that's when they can get into buildings and things
and
like
they
that.
Can get into the worst possible spots. And so, and usually, most of the time, again, it probably varies a little bit, 1, 2, 3 days, maybe at the most, something like that. But another old beekeeper told me one time that there's a little saying that if they swarm in May, they're in the hay. And if they swarm in June, it's honey on the spoon. But if they swarm in July, they're going to die because they don't have time. They don't have enough time to build the infrastructure to support them through the wintertime. So it's very critical to get...
So I understand that the process, right, the hive, the numbers of honeybees get so large.
Or they may be in a situation where there's a danger. Let's say there's a skunk coming every single night and scratching the entrance, and then they come out, and then he whacks them with their tail and sucks out all of their fluids and keeps doing this every single night. Now, if that's a threat or a danger, or let's say somebody is mowing around them or parking their car or something like that, and they're getting the fumes.
They've either gotten too big, too many,
or there's a danger. Yes.
Then part of the colony will
split.
Swarm. And that means the part that's leaving will follow the queen. And then she goes and just finds a place to
She'll
hang
find
out?
It, when it first happens, they find it. Before this even happens, 16 days before this happens, they're already out flying and trying to figure out where they're going to go.
Okay.
So they have some sense. And I had a bait hive on my deck, meaning I had a hive with empty comb, and I thought, let's see if I could try to catch a swarm. Well, this swarm flew across Lake Sammamish, and we watched it fly. It's a huge cloud, that if anyone's ever seen it, and it's a black cloud.
A black cloud.
It seems very scary, but it's not. And they fly, and usually when they're doing this flying, they originally pick a spot on a tree and land there first. And it's usually in the beginning, low to the ground, because it's a lot of work to fly. The queen only usually flies for two reasons. One, to mate at the beginning of her life, and she only does that once, where she has one day where she goes out and mates with multiple male drones, and that she stores that sperm for her entire life in a special organ. And that's why she's able to lay those eggs, is because she carries all that sperm for her entire life. It's a pretty miraculous experience that she goes through to do this. And then the other reason is to... I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
The only reason she only leaves the flies.
Yeah,
twice.
Is to fly or to swarm. And so her wings are rarely used. And so when she does this, she has to take a break and rest. And so they will land places.
And so that's
what
for
they're
her
doing
to let rest.
Is,
and
yeah,
then they
and all
get
of them.
Her.
And all of them. It's a very stressful experience.
So if you see a swarm like that, they're not dangerous, really, because they're all full of honey. and then the scouts are out looking for a place to go.
So
but
then,
that's when you should call or, you know, get a hold of the PugetSoundBees.org and get somebody like you to come. Now, if you were coming out to get them, would you, like, vacuum them up, too? Or,
Some people do. I don't vacuum them. Usually, well, during the time where we're kind of all on call for a couple of months, we have all sorts of gadgets and things and a variety of stuff. My car is always stuffed with all these different things. I've got ladders. I've got extension poles. I've got, all sorts of things. And it includes either... I don't do the ones high up in the trees, but I have, for the occasional huge swarm that's really worth it, climbed trees or done ladders and gone up 15 feet, you know, cut down limbs, you know, knock them off of limbs and gather them and then, you know, take care of them. But some people do use vacuums to get them as well. I just
don't
have one.
You knock them off and gather them. Well, how do you gather them? You pick them up with your hands?
I'll put down a tarp.
Okay.
And then hit the limb that they're up in, and they literally fall down like a ball, and they land on this tarp. And then what I do is I have a little baby hive that I put there with some comb inside, and they literally march inside that hive after the queen, and she goes in, and they literally, like... We're talking 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 bees marching up and going in. It's like the Pied Piper. And they walk in, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And that's how you can collect them.
Wow. So what's the deal with, so now is there a difference between a regular honeybee swarm and an Africanized honeybee swarm?
Yes, there is a difference. African bees, and again, this is the result of humans having an heir where African bees are native to Africa. And researchers took them down to South America to research them. Now, we, again, have already discussed that these swarm, that is their nature. So they have them outside, and suddenly the researchers realize after a period of time, uh-oh, they've swarmed, and we never paid attention to it, and now we've got these bees. So they swarm from South America up through Mexico, in through Texas, in the southern states, and now they've slowly made their way through. I remember when I was a kid, I would hear about these bees and just be, like, so freaked out, like, killers, they're going to kill me, and be so afraid. And the difference between African bees is, in Africa, the weather is so warm that they never have to cluster like what we've talked about here in the northern states. And so they swarm very frequently because their numbers constantly build because they, again, have that heat. So they're not using their resources to keep heat in their hive. And they also live out just on free limbs. They don't need all this extra wood and protection and trees.
Oh.
And so why are Africanized bees more aggressive? Why do they sting? Why are they more powerful than the average honeybee? It's because in Africa, there's huge elephants, there's tigers, there's lions with huge long hair. And so they have to have a way to protect their nest. And so when they're stinging, they're not trying to kill you. They're just trying to get you to go away. And so, but now we've got these kind of bees here, and we don't have elephants, lions, and tigers.
Right.
We do captive in our zoos. But so we've still got this aggressive tendency, and we don't have the same animals that they're trying to protect themselves from. And so, and they are more resilient. They are actually more resistant to the mites and these problems that we've been having, and they're stronger. They're more resilient. But they come with a more aggressive nature, and that's how they've been able to survive and evolve.
Wow. That's amazing.
So,
that's amazing. And then, Doug, we haven't talked a lot about all the different kinds of wasps. And I know I call anything that's yellow and black striped, you know, a yellow jacket. But I have to say, in my life, I've seen all different sizes. I've seen little teeny ones, and I've seen big long ones. And did you say how many different species there are?
Apparently, there's about 3,000 or 4,000 different species in the United States.
Wow!
And about 15,000 in the world. So there's quite a lot of. Most of them, again, are the solitary type. Around here, as far as the social wasps go, the hornets and the yellow jackets, you have that are common. Now, up in the mountains, there's more, one or two more rarer species, but down here, basically, you have the yellow hornet and the ball-faced hornet. The yellow, and they make the paper ball nest outside airily someplace. And they, you know, the yellow hornet You could also call it the aerial yellow jacket. Would work for me, or you could also call
it... When you say the yellow hornet, are they yellow and black, like
yes,
a yellow jacket?
Yeah,
okay.
Aerial yellow jacket, small little... That's what I brought in, or the...
Oh, okay, so I would call right. that a yellow jacket,
yeah.
Okay.
And also then you have two species of subterranean-type yellow jackets, again, that are going to be building inside of something that are very common and indigenous to this area. There also is a more rarer species that has somehow got here. It's probably came in with people driving out their household goods or something and is generally found along I-5. When you find it, that's the German yellow jackets. And again, they're not native to this area. And I haven't ran into any of those for a couple of years, but they are around, but much more rare than the common or the western yellow jackets.
So you say, and the big nests that are like the paper nests, you say they don't use those more than once. That's a one-year deal. So they won't come and make them bigger and bigger every year.
Think of them as being an annual around our area. That's the same thing for the ground nesting yellow jackets. They're only going to use that nest one time. A lot of times, Martha, people will find these nests up in their attic, you know, and go, you know, just can't believe how it got there and that it's there, and don't realize that that could be a nest from 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it may have been empty all that time.
One of the reasons that it's kind of interesting that they find these huge nests up in attics, and people think it's just tons of bees, but actually what you've got is a lot of extra paper around it, because, again, I said bees, didn't I? Wasps. They put on a lot... Wasps... The yellow jackets get hot, just like the bees do.
Mm.
And they'll put lots of extra paper around that nest for insulation, and then during the heat of the day, they'll have lots of workers in that nest fanning the air just like they do, just like the bees do. And I've actually collected a nest one time in Stanwood that was absolutely a monster that people can see out the Evergreen State Fair if they go to the bee exhibit there. But no.
That's a huge. He just handed me a picture of him holding a big nest. That's huge. That's got to be 2 feet across.
Oh yeah, 2 feet down. And this was in a small shed in Stanwood. That again, normally yellow jackets are confined to a cavity, or you know, that kind of constricts their size, or else they're in the ground and they have to excavate a cavity. And sometimes it's hard digging. They can't get as big as they need to be. But you know, this one was actually building in air. Like their cousins that the aerial nesting yellow jackets.
All right, well, it's apparent we're not going to have time to talk about everything we need to talk. We're going to have to do this again. But we've got to take time out here and take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And then in the last segment we've got, let's talk a bit about what to do if you're stung, because you had some good information about that. And then we'll make sure everybody's got the contact information they need to know how to get a hold of you guys. And at least if we have to kill the wasps, let's let their venom go to help people be immunized against bees instead of just killing them. That seems like a better thing to do. And I've got so many questions. Well, we need twice as much time. Anyway, stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, they've got a lot of great stuff on sale, always worth a trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Are you ready for the next revolution in pet nutrition? Jackson Hole biochemist Kevin Meehan developed Mulligan Stew's patented formula through scientific research into cellular nutrition. The end result is a cutting-edge pet food that is uniquely formulated with quality ingredients and proper manufacturing methods to help your pets live longer, healthier lives and provide effective cellular detoxification. Mulligan Stew is now available in select specialty pet stores. Go to mulliganstewpetfood.com and find out why Mulligan Stew Pet Food is the pet food with a purpose.
Hey, if you've got dogs, you need to know about the Academy of Canine Behavior. They're in Bothell, right off of 405, just north of the 522 interchange. The best doggy daycare on the planet. It is fabulous. If you travel that north 405 corridor, easy to pop off on the way to work, drop off your dog, pick him up on the way home, and you can kick up your feet and relax. All you got to do is feed your dog because he's worn out from playing with the daycare dogs all day. And they do free behavior evaluations, so check them out. It's the Academy of Canine Behavior. They've got a great cattery, too. They're in Bothell, 425-486-9567. That's 425-486-9567 or www.aocb.com and tell them Martha Norwalk sent you.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Well, hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and I'm sorry to say we're winding down this week's edition of Animal World. We call it the fastest 3 hours in radio for a reason. It goes real fast, and it's been Bee and Wasp Day. I hope you'll be here every Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And remember, you can archive, you can listen to the archive on the show. So if you know somebody needs to know about bees and wasps and all this good stuff, they can go to MarthaNorwalk.com and click on the audio files, and later today find this show there. Kelly Louvier is here, our beekeeper. Doug Cheney, our venom collector, wasp expert. And what do we do if we get stung? You had some great information, you guys, about that.
Well, I think it's important to have little sting kits around. You know, Doug mentioned earlier Benadryl. You could find some sort of natural product. Benadryl works pretty well if you have a sting.
So that would be to prevent an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
Well, Doug, you said just carry a pocket of Benadryl when you go off, huh?
Well, again, you know, I read this story about people going into the forest just carrying a credit card, you know. And
oh, that's to scrape
the stinger out when there isn't going to be any stingers staying in there.
Yeah, because remember, only the honeybees
are the ones with the barbed stinger.
That would stick in you. So only if you get stung by a honeybee would you need the credit card. But wasps don't lose their stinger.
They don't use their stinger. The thing is that, you know, if somebody is allergic, you know, I've had many times people call me and tell me how they're allergic. Well, do you have a shot kit? No. You got any pills? No. You got, you know, well, you got any life insurance? You know what I mean?
Yeah, foremost.
The shot kits are about $60-$70 now, I guess, but, you know,
plus
again,
the epinephrine.
Cheap insurance, and it's lightweight, it's small, you can carry it with you. I still would carry some Benadryl. When I get stung, I usually take a couple of pills.
Of Benadryl?
Yeah, and then I take, and if it's possible, to take and chew up a little bit and just wipe it right on the sting site. And I used to take, and then I would take and put a piece of duct tape over it to hold it on there.
You put the Benadryl on?
Yeah, directly
directly on the side of the sting.
And I'm not sure whether it works. It seems to work for me. Again, it's sort of hard to know whether or not that's going to work like that. But take a couple of pills. I've wiped and put the duct tape on there. Also, something else is called cupping in the medical industry. You know, if you get the snake bite, those little suction cups, if it's possible, depending on where the sting site is, just to put one of those on there and try to pull some of that stuff out of there.
I have found tea tree oil. Tea tree oil will suck out the venom. And I've had amazing
I generally don't use Benadryl, but I do have it for an emergency or if I'm out some far away place and there is somebody that needs it. You know, there are also natural things. Ice, I always carry around those ice bags that you can crack them and then that activates them and makes them cold. Most importantly, when you get stung, no matter what it is, if it is life-threatening or your throat is closing up, the most important thing is to go to the ER and not even mess around with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that don't just do these simple things we tell you. If there's any danger.
You're a beekeeper, you have 25 hives, and you're saving honeybees and swarms all the time. How often do you get stung?
I rarely get stung, and I think that's partially because I listen to them. But, you know, it does happen, and most of the time I actually don't do anything. But if I get stung, like, you know, I may put some ice on it, or I put like a little antidote, put a little honey on it. I always find that to be helpful. But ice is a big help. But most importantly, first of all, when you get stung, try not to get upset. Try to take a deep breath and breathe slowly and stay calm. And that's hard with little children because they cry and they get upset. And that's what causes these reactions, is the crying and the red face. That spreads that adrenaline rush through their whole body. So, you know, is to try to stay calm, I think, is the most important thing.
And Doug, you've been doing this for 20 years, and you're out there getting the wasps and stuff. How often do you get stung?
Well, I'm kind of like Kelly. I don't get stung anymore. And probably over the total history of me doing that, it's around 20 times, I suppose. Last year I stung.
Once a year, maybe. That's not much.
Well, I went. There was a couple of spells where it was two or three years where nothing was happening. And again, I don't puff up, but I try to keep it to a minimum. And last year, for instance, I was stung twice, but I didn't have my stuff, my gear on. So, you know, there you go.
All right. Well, now, if you encounter wasps, hornets, or what do you call yellow jackets, it's worth a call to Doug, because if he has access to them, he'll collect them, and they'll go to venom collectors.
And even if, sorry, Martha, but even if they just have questions or advice, I take the time to talk to them and see what's going on. And again, there's still a lot of misconception about them out there. So
so if you have questions or you need help with hornets and yellow jackets, wasps. It's Doug Cheney, and his phone number is 425-485-0103. That's 425-485-0103. Email address is venomcollect4free@comcast.net. Now, then we've got Kelly Louvier, and she's our beekeeper, and she, for honey, you can give her a call, and or if you got a honeybee swarm of some kind, she'll come and collect the honeybees. And Kelly's number is 425-891-8080.
And remember, it's a busy time of year, so if you don't hear back from me right away, it's because I'm doing some sort of aspect with the bees.
Yeah, 425-891-8080. You can find her at Thursdays at the Duval Farmers Market selling her wares. And if you just need information in general, or, you know, for swarms, you said there's a list of, because there's other people that do swarms, that's www.pugetsoundbees.org.
Or the Washington State University Extension. Also, too, you can call 911 or the fire and report a non-emergency. They have our list as well, and they can help you if you're ever in question.
Oh, okay. So that kind of covers the bases if we all need help. But if you can avoid it, please don't just kill them.
Yeah.
And know that the honeybees, they do go year round. And how long do honeybees live? Do they recycle their queens from time to time?
The queens can live anywhere from, you know, well, if something happens, a few days, but generally they lived like 1 to 3 years. But they can live up to 7, but a lot of beekeepers will kill the queens and want to replace them every year so they have this young, vital queen. I don't do that, but some people do that, so they don't let them live their full life.
Sounds a little harsh.
I think so.
And then, Doug, the wasps, they pretty much die off every year, and the new queens are born at the end. They're the ones that hibernate and then
perpetuate the species.
Yeah. And then we've got the little you called them the paper wasps.
Yeah, that's one thing real quick I could say maybe, Martha, is those little paper wasps that make the comb about the size of a cupcake or a silver dollar. You see two or three wasps on there. They, Polistes, P-O-L-I-S-T-E-S is the species name. They will come back to that little piece of comb year after year after year. They never do very much, but they make up for it by having a lot of those little combs, and they can tuck in the most inaccessible places you can imagine. And I think that since we've had this warmer climate this summer, that they have increased their they're much more numerous around here than they were, say, 10 years ago. They've always been around, but there's a lot more of them around here. They are black and yellow, not a yellow jacket, but they will come back to that little comb year after year. So okay. If you're going to deal with them, you have to actually get the wasp. You can't necessarily just spray the comb and think that they'll go away or whatever, or knock the comb down. They'll come back and build it right there at that
build
spot.
Build the same spot. Interesting. Well, thank you guys for taking your Sunday mornings and spending it with us. Appreciate everything that you've shared with us today. I think this is just the beginning. We're going to have to do more bee and wasp shows because we barely scratched the surface of everything there is to learn about them. But thank you so much, and we've got all your contact stuff. The show is archived, so you all can pick it up and listen again and again if you need to, or send it around to people that need to know. Next week, hopefully Sandy will be back. We'll start off with news, and then it's more Going Green for the Animals. Terry from Heavenly Spa, Cheryl from Northwest School of Animal Massage, our ace team of reporters are in and have prepared a huge educational program for us on Going Green, and with some local interviews and all that good stuff. So I hope you'll join us for that. And then Gary, thank you so much for playing like triple duty today. You did a swell job. And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your hearts, share your love with all living things. And we will talk to you again.